Hello, my name is Marie Bilodeau, and you are listening to On the Edge. Today we welcome author Linda Williams. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Marie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now I'd like to just warn our listeners that we will be stepping onto the extreme edge. Now you have full authority to give as many spoilers as you'd like, Linda. You can. Whoever will be listening to this has been warned that they should have read all the books that are published before listening to this section. Now, you're going to be presenting a paper at a conference in Oxford this summer, and in it you feature ambiguities of identity in Amel as a character in specifically The Courtesan Prince. What are those? Can you describe them a little bit for us?
Well, the first one that's easy to spot is gender. He's a sex abuse victim who is preyed upon because he's very beautiful, and that's typically a female role. So I did the role reversal because I was into the thought experiment of isolating what is the problem here rather than making it just about guys and girls. He also has psychological features that shade towards the female, as is described in Courtesan Prince, and that's because of some of the backstory to do with the genetic manipulation that created Sevelites in the first place. So that's one, the gender issue.
Okay.
Another one is to do with his mental manipulation. He has been abused by both the Rhetians and the Gilaks in the sense of having his brain actually tampered with. We learn in Courtesan Prince he is the victim of a conscience bond, so he has someone who has imposed mental control, a kind of a mental leash on him, that if he disobeys Hereth, is the bad guy there, he will die. So he has to do what Hereth wants. And the Rhetians manage to fix that, but in the process they're pressured due to circumstances, things that the Gilaks do, to use him as a weapon against the Gilaks. And so they alter his psychology, not in the therapeutic direction that they had planned, but in the direction of making him even more self-sacrificial, basically making him even more able to empathize with others, so he'll protect them. So he comes out of that really having had a bit of a mauling in terms of direct intervention with his brain through science again, through medical technology. And that's a fascination for me because, you know, we are our chemistry to some extent, and the more advanced we become in terms of psychiatry and medicine, the more possible it is to really start adjusting our psychologies. And I'm really fascinated by that because of some background in my family to do with depression and things of that type. I think that we all, to some extent, are really more aware than we used to be of the ability to change our personalities through things that are done to us medically.
That's true. It's another very current issue that you're bringing into your world, which makes it interesting, kind of like the ecology that you were discussing earlier. Now, you mentioned again gender roles just a few times with Amel and how he's very masculine and yet feminine all at once. And now, where does your interest in that, in exploring gender roles, come from?
Well, I think I was a little confused myself when I was young. I never really thought about myself as female or male until puberty. And I used to play tomboy games. I would saddle my bicycle and ride it around the neighborhood, being the Lone Ranger and stuff like that. I was always the male character because it seemed like they had more fun. And then I didn't really fit in with the girls. When I was a teenager, I had a friend or two who told me I had a male mind because I was into science and I liked to hang out with the guys. So I felt more comfortable in that milieu. But and then I did have the typical girlfriend thing, you know, very close bonds to one or two girlfriends. So, I mean, I really did feel like kind of a mix. And I got to the place where I sort of resented the whole thing. I felt that people are people and there's spectrums that you fall on. And it's not, the stereotypes bother me. So the mixing it up a bit, I think, is sort of my revenge upon the world for trying to impose stereotypes on real human beings.
Good revenge. Now we're going to get a bit to a juicy bit here. The third novel in the series, Pretenders, is slotted to come out in September from Edge Publishing.
That's right.
Now, for the readers that are just hungry for the next installment, having whipped through Righteous Anger, can you give us a few highlights of that book, a little morsels of meat, if you will?
Ah, yes, Pretenders. Everyone in it is pretending, at least some of our favorite characters are. Daimon is pretending he really wants Evrel to be Ava, the kind of equivalent of Emperor. But he doesn't, really. He just wants to protect Gillian from the Nessax, and he thinks she's the best shot they've got. But she has problems. She's got some problems with, you know, deviant sexual behavior, which are a big issue for him because he feels his homosexuality is deviant. So that's the other thing he's trying to pretend. He's trying to pretend that he can cope with Renar without sort of getting in deeper emotionally. Evrel herself is trying to pretend that she's a real Demish woman because she has to woo the Silver Demish vote. The Silver Demish are the ocean in terms of Sevildom. They're the most populous. So they're kind of quiet and they don't make a lot of fuss as a rule, but they really do have the numbers. So she's trying to make out to them that she's really a little bit more Demish than she is, because we know that she's quite relish in some ways, particularly sexually. And then Amel is trying to pretend that he is or can be a Sevilite. He is sort of thrust into a position where he appears to have power, but he really doesn't have any at all. He's still a pawn. And it's difficult because on the face of it, he ought to be powerful, but he really isn't. So he's struggling with that issue.
Well, thank you. That's certainly a read that we're all looking forward to. Now, in the meantime, for the 10-novel series, you do have a lot of material online based on the O'Clorel universe. Can you give us a brief idea of what people might find for free on the web?
Absolutely. I've got an extensive website where there's all kinds of background materials, because this is a universe I've played in and developed since I was in high school, basically. So there's all kinds of things that never really make it into the books, or that make it into the books but aren't explained in full. So if people explore the O'Clorel universe website, and the easiest way to find it is to just Google for O'Clorel, O-K-A-L space R-E-L. If you put those two terms into Google, you'll find lots of stuff. There's also some stories, and one of them is called Going Back Out, which is about Anne, and it's kind of a message to anyone who's an artist or has a dream not to be discouraged by people that are bigger than you, because they may not be fighting the same fight that you are. So this is my O'Clorel universe interpretation of that message. And there's another one for people who are interested in the more intellectual side of what I do, which is called Making History, and it's about the dawn of Arbiters and how Ryer begins the open policies that Arbiters keep alive, but begins it by having to suppress one truth. So to obtain just government where there are no lies, the person who's the founder has to wrestle with the issue of keeping one secret. And that's what that one's about, and it was published by an online journal.
Nice. That gives us a lot to look forward to. Can you tell us also a little bit about the additional publications by yourself and others and co-authors that are set in the O'Clorel universe, and what this aspect of your work means for you? I mean, that other people are writing stories as well set in the same universe, and that you co-author some stories. Does it have a different emotional attachment for you?
It does. But it's been a part of the O'Clorel universe forever. So it's always a kind of a risky situation when you work with someone. But to me, the O'Clorel universe has always been a dialogue and a negotiation with different people over the years, notably my friend Alison Sinclair, who has been my partner and friend throughout many years, but has now got other stuff she's working with. And so when people get involved, it tends quite naturally to inspire people to make pictures or to dress up or to do something to express their own creativity. And it's important to me to value that because I think that's the future. I think that we're kind of going back to the past in a way where stories were passed around and embellished and people commented on them, and the unnaturalness of the medium that we used to work in has prevented that because it could be controlled. But I think that it's really all a continuum from fanfic to co-authoring to what I do as the founder of the universe. So it's important to me. I think it's part of the heart of the whole thing and also where some of its vigor comes from. It's a big universe, so there's lots of places people can slot in with different styles, too.
Yeah, it's definitely a universe worth keeping an eye out. And so we'd like to remind our listeners that in September, they can look forward to the third installment of your saga, The Pretenders, Just Pretenders. And also to keep an eye on that, they can go on the Edge website. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll get some more news of you, Linda. You're quite active yourself. You keep a good presence on the web, so I'm sure people will stumble on you here and there.
Yes, the Reality Skimming blog is my main fiction blog for the Okoval universe, and there'll be a lot of announcements before too long, hopefully before September, about things in the expanded series. To work in that series, people have to like the series. They have to be on side with me about the basics, and they also have to have the talent to do it. So I'm not going to be beating the bushes, but if people are interested and they want to come looking, I would be happy to hear from them at linda@okalrel.org. It's Linda with a Y.
That's wonderful. Thank you for the invitation, and we certainly look forward to Pretenders. And so that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for your time, Linda.
Thank you, Marie. It's been fun.
Yeah, we look forward to reading all of your future offerings, and may there be many, many more. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Edge.